Welcome to the new neighborhood. We are excited to highlight innovative early childhood work taking place in communities across the country.
In each episode, we're talking to people who are building a new sense of community, supporting young children and their families, and focusing on equity right from the start to create a generation where all children and their families thrive. I'm Kaylin O'Connor.
And I'm Sanaa Sharif, and we are your co-hosts for The New Neighborhood.
So today we're here to wrap up our season three and reflect a little on how it's gone. This is the seventh episode. Five of those were interviews with guests. And so as we look back on those conversations, Sanaa, I'm just wondering, what were some of your favorite moments?
Well, I have to start with our reunion in the very first episode. It was so good to get back together again. I would say that the Power of Two interview was nostalgic, talking to individuals who are doing work in the community that I grew up in. And I also truly enjoyed the eviction prevention episode because of similar work here in my county. I absolutely enjoyed the Moms Rising and NCPC, which is North Carolina Partnership for Children, interview because I worked so closely with Daphne in the parent leadership field. And so I'm curious about what some of your favorite moments were.
I think I loved them all. I can't choose a favorite or anything, but I think some of the things that are really sticking with me are both in the episode about the Automatic Benefit for Children or ABC Coalition and the eviction prevention episode with Multnomah County. It's like these financial issues for families are just so important. And often a lot of our early childhood work has been like, oh, we're just focused on how the kids are developing and what's going on with the kids while their parents are at work. But like, there's so much critical to well-being that we can get at with some of those interventions. And I'm glad we're paying more attention to that now in the early childhood field. And I was really excited by both of those episodes, the work they shared. And then I guess the other one I would mention is a moment that really stuck with me was Tina Sherman from Moms Rising sharing that statistic that one in four moms goes back to work within 10 days. That was just shocking to me. I knew there are moms who go back to work that quickly. I did not know it was that many. And I just think that really reveals a lot about what's going on in this country and the ways that we're not supporting the transition to parenthood or children's early weeks, months, and years. And so we have so much work to do there. So it was really good to uncover some of that and to be talking with people who are really doing work to fix it.
Just really quickly, I like what you said about the financial support being something that is being considered right now. It really makes me think of the protective factors and how those concrete supports in times of need are so important for the caregivers of these children that we're creating safe spaces for. That matters a lot.
Absolutely. Thank you. I want to take a minute to ask Annika List, our wonderful, helpful, resourceful, and just overall great colleague, Annika, if you could share, as you've been listening in on all of these episodes as our production support and editing support, if you have any reflections you want to share about some of your favorite moments from this season.
Thanks so much, Kaylin, for your kind words. It's been such a privilege to work on this season with you both. And I have to echo that I can't just pick one episode. We've really heard from some fantastic organizations this past season. And getting to know people across the country who are doing such inspiring work has been such a highlight for me. Because I think often when we're looking at things from a national level, it's easy to get discouraged about the lack of policy change and supports for families. Thinking about our second episode this season that came out just as the Census Bureau had released data showing that child poverty had more than doubled from 2021 to 2022. It's easy to get discouraged when you are seeing statistics like that. But what has been really inspirational for me, and hopefully for our listeners as well, is hearing people all over the country who are working in local communities to advance early childhood systems that are working for children and their families, and to see that positive impact that all of our guests are driving in states all across the country, all across the political spectrum, is something that I've taken away and carry with me throughout my work. I'll also add that some of my favorite moments have been the parts that listeners don't see. It's the way you two brainstorm and bounce ideas off of each other in our prep calls and during recordings that has really made this podcast what it is. I feel like I've seen the two of you really grow as podcast hosts and develop such a strong synergy together. And so I just want to appreciate all the work that both of you have put in to make this podcast what it is. I've loved being a part of this work, and I appreciate you inviting me to share some reflections today.
Thanks, Annika. And also, thank you, Michael Biari, our editor, who does an amazing job on all of these episodes to make us sound like humans, not robots.
Thanks, Michael. We're going to go now to our Where Are They Now updates. This is our segment that we did at the end of season two and wanted to come back to at the end of season three. We checked with our previous guests on the podcast for any updates about how their work has progressed or anything else they want to share since they were on the podcast. First thing, we have an update from Susie Diaz from Yakima Valley Partners for Education. We spoke with Susie in season two about food security in early childhood, and she shared an update that Yakima Valley Partners for Education served 3,662 meals and 560 warm meals to the community in 2023, increased the reach of service to 5 communities, completed a food security needs assessment with 109 responses received, launched and closed out a digital literacy program that served 162 adults, and led with food security as they hosted 18 community-based literacy and educational pathway events. And she summed it up by saying, when we lead with food security in mind, we help families connect to additional resources and education. So great to hear from Susie again.
That sounds like an awesome success. Well, I would like to read an update from Paul Sharfman at Specialty Cheese. That was another favorite episode. And he was from our episode last season about how this rural business was helping employees get childcare. So he reported they've had strong business growth. They're planning another major factory expansion in 2024. They have actually given 3 acres adjacent to the factory to the Dodge County Housing Authority, and they have a plan to build both childcare and affordable housing on the land next year.
That's pretty awesome to hear, because he was talking about plans like that, and I'm glad he found a way to make it happen. I also heard from Alana Dennis and Jesse Manning from the Ohio chapter of Safe Families for Children, who were on another episode in season two. They just let us know that their work is growing and going strong.
Wow. Well, I just spoke with a representative from the Tenant Leadership Academy here in Guilford County. And the academy was very successful, resulting in many Guilford County residents learning more about their rights as tenants in Guilford County.
And we have an update from the Automatic Benefit for Children Coalition from our second episode this season. The ABC Coalition is currently getting signatures on a letter of support for the federal DHHS Notice of Proposed Rulemaking entitled Strengthening Temporary Assistance for Needy Families, or TANF, as a Safety Net and Work Program. This proposed rule would make positive steps in the TANF program, and it's great to see that the ABC Coalition and its Parent Advisory Board are putting their efforts into many different avenues that lead to support for families.
That's really cool. And we also talked about a cash assistance program during the ABC episode. We had some insight from John Thornton. Well, I recently learned that Durham County, North Carolina, is launching their very own cash assistance program. And I personally am looking forward to hearing about the successes and the areas for growth. I think a lot of people would benefit from just a little more cash in their pocket.
Awesome. So we wanted to take a little time just to share other updates from during this season. And Sanaa, I know that you have had a lot going on during this season while we've been recording these episodes. And so I wondered if you could share with our audience some of your news.
Absolutely. So I will begin with this. When I started as a co-host, I was a parent liaison with Ready for School, Ready for Life. And during that time, I was doing a little bit of work with Prevent Child Abuse North Carolina, building the North Carolina Family Resource Center network. Well, since then, I have left Ready, and I am building the Family Resource Center network on a little more full-time basis with PCAMC. I recently served on a panel as Parent Voice representing PCAMC at the Foundation for Health Leadership and Innovation's Center of Excellence for Integrated Care on the Protective Factors. It was really awesome to discuss the protective factors from a parent perspective. I also received an Excellence in Fashion Award For those who have not heard, I am a internationally published and award-winning fashion designer. And I released some music because I am also a vocal music artist. So the thing is, I have a tendency to link my talents, my artistic inclinations to the protective factors, because those are things that keep me calm. Those are things that are relaxing. Those are things that build space for me to grow with my children and help them cultivate their artistic abilities. And so I think that as a parent, it's amazing to have these outlets. And listen, if they turn into a profession, so be it. I've also been doing my own personal podcast, and it's called the Just Live Podcast. And the theme is, how will you just live? I interview regional artists and local business owners and people who are interested in building community. You can find that show on my YouTube channel, and that link is also in the show notes. What's going on with you, Kaylin?
Well, first of all, congratulations on all of that. The fashion and music is incredible, and I love just being connected to you and hearing about all that creative work. And then I think you bring a lot of creativity also to this work in parent leadership and now your professional roles related to all of this early childhood and family support work. I just love how you've stepped into that and grown into that. Longtime fan of Prevent Child Abuse North Carolina. They do great work, and I'm so glad that you're there too. So you closed out by talking about the protective factors, which is a project that I also hold near and dear, the Strengthening Families Protective Factors Framework. That is the work that brought me to CSSP and that I continue to keep moving. And so I'm very excited to share that one of the things that's going on for me right now is that we're about to release a paper expanding the research base for the Protective Factors Framework. So Sanaa and many others who are listening today are going to be really excited to see that. We have some updated definitions of the protective factors and just really making more of the kind of links that Sanaa was just making about, you know, how parents' protective factors are affected by the community around them and can be supported through policy and through community factors and how it all links together. Also, much stronger language about the impact of racism on young families, young children, and on their parents, and how our work to build protective factors needs to take that into account to understand what people are facing, as well as the strengths that they bring from what they have lived through and learned from and grown from. So really excited for this new paper to come out.
Yeah, that actually sounds really exciting. And I say again, as a parent, I'm looking forward to the expanded definitions. It kind of drives it home. Sometimes the wording is kind of above where we are, you know, for lack of a better way to explain it. So that really makes me happy.
Thank you. I'm excited too. Other work that I'm excited about right now, we have a lot of new things coming out around early relational health, which is also closely related to those protective factors. And actually, you'll see more and more in materials about strengthening families, we are referring to early relational health. And in materials about early relational health, we are referring to other protective factors. So that work, I'm really happy, is going on and really taking off in fun ways with the Nurture Connection movement. And then another project I work on is our Early Learning Nation Collective, and that will be launching in 2024. And I'm really excited to be able to share more about it as it goes. The only other update I'll share from what's been going on during this season, and which I think you might have been able to hear if you listen to all the episodes, is that Sanaa and I both had a few different times of being under the weather. One episode in particular, I know I recorded when I was like, no, I'm totally recovered from bronchitis. And then I listened to that episode. I was like, oh, I was not recovered from bronchitis, but we had to get it recorded. So thanks for hanging with us. Thanks to Michael for making us still sound as good as we can during those times when our voices might not quite up to it. I don't know how professional broadcasters do this. Always have a voice that works.
Yeah, lots of honey and lemon, I'm thinking.
Okay, well, we're almost at the end of our season. I'm wondering what else is on your mind, Sanaa, and what you're thinking about these days.
Well, one thing that I realized at the end of the season is that I've never encouraged people to attend the Parent Leader Network meetings which are actually open to everyone, anyone who's interested in advocating in early childhood systems, anyone who's interested in better supporting the parents that attend their agencies, parents who are interested in learning ways to strengthen their voices and even to build community that supports families and young children on their own. I would encourage you to attend the Parent Leader Network meetings. They happen typically every second Monday, and they are 1 to 2:30 p.m. Eastern Time. And you can actually reach out to Arthur Argomanes at the Center for the Study of Social Policy. His contact information will be in the show notes. I'm looking forward to having each and every one of you listeners attend the meetings and kind of just learn what you can to grow your own communities. Kaylin, what's on your mind?
Thanks for asking. I've been thinking a lot about parent leadership, both in the podcast itself, where it's been wonderful to be a co-host with you. And I think that has brought a new rigor to parent leadership in really sharing how we do this podcast. And I'm excited about that. And I'm working on a number of other projects where we have parent leader groups we're bringing together, or we're trying to make sure people bring parent leaders in their local work. And there's so much to it and a lot of attention being paid to parent leadership right now, which I'm really excited about. But I also just always want to be careful that it doesn't become like a buzzword, or just that people take shortcuts to say, yeah, we invited some parents to this meeting. Nobody showed up, or they showed up and didn't say anything, so everything must be fine, you know, that kind of thinking. So I think I'm just thinking a lot about the layers to parent leadership, how it really affects the parents who get engaged in the work, which I know is really powerful, but also how it affects every other parent in a community when parents have been at the table to shape the systems that they all engage in. So, like, I want to see that a parent living in Guilford County, North Carolina, is having a better experience in early childhood systems because of the work that you and other parents have been doing there, Sanaa. Whether they ever know that there was parent leadership involved in it or not, they might have their hands too full to come to any meetings or participate at that level, but they're just walking through the door of programs and getting a much better experience than they would have gotten otherwise. So I'm always trying to think about that. Like, how is the parent leadership helping to shape what happens for all parents in the community? In addition to how is parent engagement being done well? How is parent leadership being done well for the parents who do engage?
Totally understand that. Also, you know, when it comes to parent leadership, I really think it's important for agencies to consider the sustainability of it all. So we don't want the token parentism, but we also want to create a culture of coming back, right? How do you keep the parent leaders around? In fact, there is a recording of a presentation that I did on creating a culture of coming back and building a positive. So we will also have that available in the show notes for agencies who are interested in creating those welcoming spaces for the parents whose voices they rely on.
Excellent. And when we were talking last week, Sanaa, you made a comment that I thought was so important about when parents are involved in systems change conversations, that matters in some of the ways I already talked about, but also just like you then as a parent have insight into which agencies are really supporting parent leadership, which ones are kind of giving it lip service, which ones aren't even interested. And that's a level of accountability that we don't have when parents aren't in the room observing these conversations about the system. And I think that's really valuable for the systems and then for the sort of word of mouth in the community, that when somebody's asking you, hey, where should I go for help with this issue? You know where they should go. And if there's a couple choices, you know which one would be better.
Absolutely. Just don't go to that one.
Exactly. And that's important because people don't know. They just walk in the door and see what kind of help they get. So I think that's really good. I will also give a sneak peek that we are thinking about how to center parent voice even more in the next season of the podcast. So stay tuned for more on that.
Yeah, I hope to see you all during season 4. Kaylin, it has been an honor to do season 3 with you. I hope we can top this next season.
This has been so much fun and such great conversations. And I just really appreciate working with you, Sanaa. So thank you for doing another season with us. And it's been really wonderful.
Thank you for listening to The New Neighborhood. Be sure to check the show notes for links and additional information about some of the things we talked about today. And please take a moment to share something with us about your own work in your community using the link in the show notes. Stay tuned for season 4 of The New Neighborhood next year. We have some exciting new ideas and are so excited to share them with you. In the meantime, go back and catch up on seasons 1 through 3. This limited series podcast is a production of the Center for the Study of Social Policy. For more information or to contact us, visit us online at www.cssp.org.